Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Everything from roadways to waterways, the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill is now law. Finally, labor peace at Kaiser Permanente in California, at least for now, but 600 jobs in Ohio going to Mexico. Today on the show, the Ohio Federation of Teachers and America's Fire Protection Union. Welcome to the Tuesday, November 16th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available now on six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to kick things off with one of our sponsors. Melissa Cropper is president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft.org. That AFT means they're affiliated with the American Federation of Teachers. And three things we're going to delve into. Number one, Melissa says teachers and school staff are May tired. Yeah, at the end of the year, teachers are pretty much burned out, and it's happening now. She says she's been in touch with many teachers as well as school staff who are struggling due to substitute teacher shortages, increased behavioral issues with students, and the big issue, too, out of all of those is catching up from last year, remote learning. Melissa says she has sent members an email about all these issues, and she'll talk about the responses she got. The other topic is what happened at the polls recently. A lot of opponents of public education are continuing their dishonest attacks. State School Board of Education has rescinded an equity resolution. She'll touch on that as well. Charter school organizing. Teachers at two more Cleveland area charter schools have filed for union elections, and if successful, the teachers at these two schools, Summit Academy and Menlo Park Academy, would join teachers and staff at six other charter schools in the Cleveland area. That's fantastic. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of opponents of public education said, oh, you know what? We got to get them out of public education. It's all the unions. Those teachers are protected by the unions who need charter schools. Well, take a record. Take a look at the record of charter schools and you'll see how successful they have been. Now, let's be honest. There are some charter schools that are good, but there are many that are not. And Melissa will touch on all of that and more as our first guest. Tim Coleman will be our second guest on the show. He's been on several times. He comes from the Fire Protection Union. We're talking about United Association Local 669, JATC, Joint Apprenticeship Training Program, America's Fire Protection Union, training669.org. And you probably know this. You've been listening to the show with any duration. We talked about it extensively yesterday. Yesterday marked the 7th annual beginning of National Apprenticeship Week. This started in 2015, presidential proclamation on apprenticeship, and it's including trade fairs, open houses, conferences, roundtables, panel discussions with an emphasis on diversity, equity, inclusion, accessibility in apprenticeship opportunities. Right now, throughout this whole week, 832 events and the issuance of 172 proclamations in 50 states, territories, and the District of Columbia. And today, they're focusing on pre-apprenticeship and youth apprenticeship. And Tim will talk about that and drive everybody, obviously, to training669.org. And we'll have an emphasis on veterans. Last Thursday, as you know, was Veterans Day. And in yesterday's show, we were talking about veterans in piping, also affiliated with the United Association. UA has been very, very vigilant in making sure they can attract as many veterans to the building trades for various reasons. Number one, veterans have a certain sort of discipline when you think about the military. That's number one. Discipline, discipline, discipline. And they've got a great work ethic. So we'll touch on that with Tim Coleman, especially now that we are in the middle almost of National Apprenticeship Week. And if you go to the Labor Department's website, just Google Department of Labor, and you can read a whole lot about what's going on in America this week to attract young people to the trades. And for very good reason. We got a lot of money that's going to rebuild America. This is certainly good news. President Biden yesterday signed into law the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill passed by the House about a week and a half ago. This is after months of tense negotiations and political wrangling between warring factions, not between the Democrats and the Republicans, primarily between one Democrat and another Democrat. The bill will provide the largest investment in transit and water projects in American history, including, according to the White House, the biggest investment in railway since the creation of Amtrak. It will also provide, among other provisions, $550 billion for transportation, $110 billion for roads and bridges, $65 billion to expand broadband internet access, $65 billion to rebuild the electrical grid with renewable energy, $45 billion in climate resiliency measures, $55 billion to upgrade water systems and replace lead pipes, and $39 billion to repair and upgrade public transit systems. Moreover, President Biden claims that the bill, which has received the support of most major labor unions, in addition to investments in roads, bridges, broadband, rail, public transit, electric vehicles, climate mitigation, clean drinking water, will create at least 2 million jobs, the bulk of them good-paying union jobs for working people. I have to repeat that because that just sounds too good. Good-paying union jobs for working people. Many unions, while praising the infrastructure bill, have called for the Democrats to pass the second, more ambitious portion of Biden's agenda. That's the Build Back Better piece of legislation. And the consensus is that we may have something around Thanksgiving, which is, what, 9 days away? I'm not going to hold my breath, but we'll see what happens. On Saturday, hospital workers and management at Kaiser Permanente, one of the nation's largest not-for-profit healthcare networks, reached a tentative agreement, potentially averting a massive strike, which was set to begin yesterday, that would have involved more than 30,000 healthcare workers in California, Oregon, Washington, and Hawaii. That's quite a territory. The Alliance of Healthcare Unions, which represents nearly 50,000 Kaiser employees through 22 local unions, released a statement saying that it had reached an agreement with Kaiser on a new 4-year contract that includes wage increases starting at 3% every year through 2025. And here's the biggie: elimination of the proposed 2-tier wage system. That has been a stickler for many, many unions, including the bakers at Kellogg's and John Deere workers. There's also bonuses in the plan, and right now they expect the membership to pass it. It will be reviewed later this week at a bargaining delegate conference before being sent to local unions for approval, so we'll keep our eyes on that one. Now for some very, very sad and actually bad news. Tenneco announced late last week that it intends to close its plant in Southwest Ohio by the end of 2023, a move that will affect more than 600 jobs. Company spokesperson says the plant, which makes shock absorbers, is, quote, not a sustainable business case, citing higher prices for materials like steel and a market oversaturation of shock absorber production. The spokesperson said, this is a difficult situation, but unfortunately, in the end, looking at it at every possible angle, It does not look like a business case that can be supported. This is a union shop. A news release from the union representing the workers. This is the International Union of Electronic Workers, which are affiliated with the CWA, Communication Workers. They said Tenneco plans to move about 500 jobs to Mexico. The plant currently employs about 650 people, and about 450 are members of the union. This announcement came on Veterans Day last Thursday. And the president of the union, Carl Kennebrew, said, on Veterans Day, we should be honoring those who have served, but instead, Tenneco is betraying veterans, workers, and our community by offshoring jobs. Our workforce is highly skilled and well-trained, and they have helped make this company a success. Carl also points out, Tenneco has received millions in tax subsidies, yet they're looking to move operations to Mexico and China, where the company can exploit workers with low wages. So we are calling on Tenneco to do the right thing and keep the jobs here. Well, because of what was announced last week, the politicians are stirring. Ohio's Governor Mike DeWine released a statement saying he was deeply disappointed. He said state officials with Jobs Ohio plan to talk with Tenneco officials in hopes the company will reconsider. This is what the governor said. Ohio's automotive workforce is second to none, and the Kettering facility, that's just around the Dayton area, Dayton, Ohio, the facility lies within a day's drive of 70% of current North American auto assembly plants. We know that our talented workforce will be highly attractive for future investment and job creation. Good point. Senator Sherrod Brown and Representative Tim Ryan and Dayton's mayor, Nan Whaley, all criticizing the announcement. And Ryan said, Tenneco's decision to shut down operations in Kettering is a slap in the face to the workers who keep this plant running and have a proud history of supplying Ohio's auto industry. Ryan went on to say, with the unprecedented supply chain disruption sweeping through our economy, the decision to shutter this plant and move operations overseas and switch from American steel to steel produced in China is a mistake that will only cost the company in the long run. Good points. And what's going on in America right now? A supply chain. We can't get the products that we are now manufacturing in China over here. They're stuck on the West Coast. And this company wants to send jobs to Mexico and probably China as well. That's one to watch. All right, we have to break. When we come back, Melissa Cropper on behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. Always enjoy talking to Melissa Cropper. Melissa is the president of the Ohio Federation of Teachers. Website is oh.aft.org. They're on Facebook, and you can also follow the union on Twitter. OFT Advocate is their Twitter handle. Hey, Melissa, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
Good. Not too bad. Not too bad. Getting ready for winter here, getting ready for the holidays. And it appears that this is interesting. I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, and you sent me a couple of talking points today. And here we are. It's the middle of November, and the teachers are May tired. When we say May tired, that's the end of the school year. That's when they're saying, oh, you know what? Looking forward to that summer vacation because it's been a rough year. Right. And I guess May has moved into November. talk to me about that, Melissa.
It's been incredible, not in a good way, to have these conversations with teachers across the state, across the board, no matter what type of district I've been in. I'm hearing this over and over from people that they just feel May tired already, that people are just exhausted, and they're questioning how they're going to be able to make it through the school year. You know, as you indicated, usually when you get to May, you can see that light at the end of the tunnel and you're wrapping things up. But here we are still in many places in the first quarter or just ending the first quarter of the school year. There's still, you know, three quarters of the year left to go, and people are already have already reached their limits. So I'm really concerned about what this is going to mean for the rest of the school year.
And there's a couple of components that are making them tired. Number one, I guess there's a shortage of substitute teachers. Let's start there. What's the story on that?
Yes, a shortage of substitute teachers, bus drivers, nurses, counselors, about everyone in the school system. There's a shortage. There's just a shortage of people that we need. And what this means for teachers is that instead of having their planning period during the day, they're often covering for another teacher during their planning period, or, you know, another class is being combined with their class, you know, doubling the number of students that they have to deal with. And so there's no planning time during the day, which means that's extra time that teachers are spending at home getting ready for classes. So there's just no downtime at all. And so, therefore, obviously, teachers are getting tired more quickly than they would have in the past.
What about the students' behavior? I understand that, I guess, some of them are kind of restless. And, you know, we're still in the middle of the pandemic. And obviously,
yeah.
This is coupled with the remote learning that was going on last year. So what about that?
Yeah, I mean, this has probably been the most disturbing piece of these conversations because for a while, I mean, yes, teachers are telling me that they are seeing more extreme behaviors than they've seen in the past and more frequent, you know, more students exhibiting them. And again, this is across the board. And for a while, you know, I think we were saying, you know, it's because of COVID, it's because they're on remote learning, they forgot how to be in the classroom, et cetera. But then when we start analyzing the situation, this is happening even in small rural districts where they pretty much had a normal year last year, face-to-face, 5 days a week, and still we're seeing these kind of problems. And I really think that the real issue is that we see students mimicking the behaviors that they're seeing from adults on their social media feeds, in their communities, mm-hmm. et cetera. You know, when you have adults telling children, you don't have to wear a mask, even if someone tells you have to wear a mask. You know, children don't have the ability to be able to distinguish between I have to listen to authority in this situation, but I don't have to in this situation. When you give students permission to not follow rules and to not believe in authority, then, of course, that's going to spill over in the classroom in all ways. And I think mm-hmm. that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, a lot of this was discussed by voters at the polls. I want to get into that. But the bottom line is you have to communicate with your members at the Ohio Federation. And I know you're doing that. You're reaching out and trying to get some responses. We have to deal with this right away. And if they're not addressed, we're going to have some serious problems because we're already seeing some of the of many people leaving their professions. And teachers
right.
are no exception there, and school staff. So have you gotten any response from the membership yet on these issues, Melissa?
Yes, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I said to my communications director, so we just need to put all other issues aside and have a heart-to-heart with our members to the degree that you can through an email and just get real about this. And I just put out an email that said, listen, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about what I'm hearing. tell me what's going on, you know, tell me how we can help. And it was within minutes, started receiving responses back from as basic as, you know, thank you, I'm glad someone is finally hearing what I'm saying, to, you know, I just don't know if I can make it through the rest of the school year. I don't know what you can do to help, but I don't think I'm going to make it through this school year. So we're compiling, you know, a list of specific things that people mentioned, whether, you know, it's the sub shortages, or they just need more planning time, or they need a relaxation of some of the compliance pieces. We're compiling a list of those things. But we're also looking, and quite frankly, we have a lot of people requesting some kind of social-emotional support for themselves. We ask for this for students all the time, but teachers are actually needing some social-emotional support, too. So we're looking for people who can actually reach out to these teachers and be a sounding board and be a place where they can talk about how they're feeling and the stress they're feeling. Because I think the other piece people don't quite understand is that, again, when you're the teacher of a classroom, these students become your family. So it's not only dealing with what behaviors might be coming up in the classroom, but it's also the stress of seeing what children are going through at home that was caused by COVID and all these other tensions. So taking on that stress from the children and trying to figure out, how do you help these children? How do you help them catch up on the learning that happened? How do you help them with the behavior issues? How do you deal with situations that might be happening in their communities and at home? And it's just a lot. It's a lot for teachers to take on.
Oh, yeah. Stressed at home, stressed in the community, and obviously stressed right at school. And then you throw in the political dialogue that's mm-hmm. going on all across America, and that mm-hmm. just complicates this issue even further. I know you've mm-hmm. been watching what's been going on, well, in the state of Ohio, in Virginia. You had a change over there in leadership. I mean, it was across the board in the governor's race, in the House, and in the Senate over there. And a lot of this is predicated upon, I guess, disinformation. Can you speak to what's going on there and how that's just adding to the confusion, Melissa?
Right. I mean, you've got political powers, especially the right wing, who's taken advantage of this situation and using this as a wedge to divide people even further. So instead of trying to figure out how do we work together to make sure that our children have good learning opportunities, you have the people on Fox News, you have the right wing, who is actually tapping into this anger and fear and feeding these people wrong information about what's happening in our classrooms and encouraging people to not only defy authority, but to be, you know, outright hateful and mean and threatening in the conversations that they have. So we see it playing out in school board meetings, you know, in the school board elections. There's playbooks that have been put out for parents on how to raise the issue about critical race theory, which isn't actually being taught in our schools, about how mm-hmm. to defy masks being worn in schools. And it's just stirring up even more of this anger, this mistrust. And it's really quite scary.
And in Ohio, the State Board of Education rescinded a resolution that was dealing with fighting racism. That one is very confusing, and I know that came right after the George Floyd situation in May of 2020.
Passed 12-5.
Okay,
so there are only five people that opposed it to start with, and then all of a sudden, a year later, after this disinformation campaign, where everything is being labeled as critical race theory. Which, you know, I want to clarify: critical race theory is not a bad thing. Critical race theory is actually a good thing to talk about in college, which is where it is taught. But everything under the sun is being labeled as critical race theory. And because of all this disinformation that's happened the past year, it's caused people to back off on things like this resolution for fear of how some people might react. So, yes, a resolution that was passed by 12-5 was just last month rescinded, But there were two appointed members of the school board who voted to keep that resolution, and as a result, they were asked by the governor to resign from their seats.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Melissa. I saw that. I did follow that vote, and I don't know what the future is going to bring on that, but it is so confusing for so many people, for students, for parents, everybody, and there's a war going on. There really is a war going on. All right, let's talk about some good news here, and that has to do with charter school organizing, and I see a couple more Cleveland area charter schools have filed for union elections. Well, hey, what's going on here, Melissa?
Yes, well, we're very excited about that. Well, I mean, all the issues that I just mentioned are also playing out in our charter schools, and at least in our, you know, in our schools that we have organized, at least we have some mechanisms for trying to make things better. These charter schools, which are, you know, already having problems to start with, are really struggling under the weight of all this. So, yeah, we've had two more charter schools reach out to us, Summit Academy in Lorain, which is under the same chain as Summit Parma charter that went out on strike a couple years ago. It's another branch of them. They filed for an election, and then also Menlo Park in the Cleveland area, which is a gifted charter school, has also filed for election. So we're really excited to hopefully, you know, get an election going, win those elections, and bring them under our umbrella also so we can help them resolve some of the issues they're dealing with.
Well, you're having a pretty good year getting that going, plus the library in Worthington. Melissa,
I hope there's more to come.
Yeah,
you look at all the polling. There's always more people to organize. And when you look at all the polling and stuff, we live in a time where people, you know, approval rating of unions is at all-time high in decades. People mm-hmm. want to be organized. It's just that there's so many laws and restrictions that slow it down or prevent it. But you know, we're finding a way to work around that and get people organized.
When we get that PRO Act, the Richard Trumka PRO
right.
Act passed, look
right.
out. There's 60 million. 60 million people in America today that would join a union if there
right.
weren't so many roadblocks to joining that
exactly.
union. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Melissa, hang in there. I know it's been tough. It's only November, but we'll get through it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Once again, Melissa Cropper on behalf of the Ohio Federation of Teachers, one of the many sponsors here on America's Workforce. oh.aft.org is your website. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Tim Coleman. On behalf of America's Fire Protection Union, that's UA Local 669. He's coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on 6 platforms now. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and the platform known as Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always love those 5-star ratings. More and more of those coming in, so we certainly do appreciate that. As I indicated at the top of the show, this is National Apprenticeship Week. And boy, the timing could not be better, because yesterday, President Biden signed into law that Infrastructure and Jobs Act, $1.2 trillion. And I want to read a statement before we get to our next guest from Terry O'Sullivan. Terry O'Sullivan is the general president of Labor's International Union of North America, the presenting sponsor of this show for many, many years. Terry's a great guy. He really believes in America's workforce. And this is what Terry said yesterday, and he was at the signing ceremony. It's a great honor to represent the proud men and women of Labor's International at the signing of the bipartisan infrastructure bill by President Joe Biden at the White House. With the president's signature, the United States commits to the single greatest infrastructure investment in generations to restore our roads and bridges, our water systems, transit, and broadband. The investment will put laborers to work in every community, revitalize our nation's economy, and open doors to the middle class for hundreds of thousands of working men and women. Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA. You can find more at liuna.org. And hopefully this is the beginning of more good things to come. And like I indicated, with the fact that we have this legislation now into law, that means lots of jobs. And those jobs are going to need some training. So let's go to line number two right now. Welcome back to the show. Tim Coleman, he's no stranger to the show. Tim comes to us from United Association Local 669, America's Fire Protection Union. Website is training669.org. Tim Coleman, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, brother?
Oh, fantastic, Flash. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me back on the show.
Pretty exciting day yesterday in Washington, and, you know, the fact that you're with the United Association, you're one of many unions that campaigned for this. You got to feel pretty good going forward. What's your thoughts, Timmy?
Incredible. You know, so we finally have an administration that is doing what they said that they were going to do. And you look at this, in the middle of this pandemic, what was the focus of President Biden's administration? The number one priority was this infrastructure package. And, you know, I know a lot of us were kind of frustrated, but that's part of the game. I mean, this is a big deal. You know, he's pulling everybody together. And you know, I love the statement that you read from our brothers and sisters with LIUNA. But the North American Building Trades Union, which is 3.5 million workers that represent 15 different affiliate trades, every single trade is going to benefit from this. Every single trade, including Local 669, America's Fire Protection Union. And you know what's really? I've got a little quick story. And a doctor, Flash, had an issue and called a plumber. And the plumber arrives at the doctor's house, and she says, you know, where do you want me to go work? And the doctor shows her what the problem was. So she completes the work, and as the plumber's leaving, she gives the doctor the invoice, and the doctor looks at her and says, $500. I've never made this much money before in my life as a doctor. And the plumber said to the doctor, so she said, you know what, doc? I never made that much money before as a doctor either. So this, you don't fail into construction, you know, and I love that story because it's true. You know, you don't fail into construction. And what's really exciting is we are in the middle of apprenticeship week, which is the meat and potatoes and the reason why we separate ourselves from others. You know, you go back to 1937 when the Fitzgerald Act was passed that regulated apprenticeship programs. In all the trades, we have registered apprenticeship programs, which means that our curriculum is registered with the Federal Department of Labor and the State Department of Labor. You know, and the curriculum is registered to develop our apprentices into subject matter experts, which are journey-level journey persons. You know, in our trade, we develop subject matter experts in the installation, testing, and maintenance of fire suppression systems, and those are life safety systems. So, you know, it's an exciting time. We're in the middle of apprenticeship week, and, you know, and yesterday President Biden signs the infrastructure package. Incredible.
Doesn't get any better than that. Talk to me about what you're doing for apprenticeship week. I know there's a lot of events. I mean, I counted here 832 events going on in America today. And today being Tuesday, November 16th, they're focusing on pre-apprenticeship and youth apprenticeship. Talk to me about training669.org, Tim.
Yeah, and that's and I'm glad you shared that, because that really is one of the pathways and the support that not only Local 669, but the UA and the North American Building Trades Union gives towards the apprenticeship readiness programs through a program called MC3, which helps develop young women and men so they can enter into these apprenticeship programs. So Local 669, we are America's Fire Protection Union. We have jurisdiction in 48 states. We have 15,000 members. We've got close to 1,300 apprentices. So we have training centers throughout the country. And, you know, our program is just like the other UA programs. It's 10,000 hours of on-the-job training and 1,200 hours of technical instruction. So whether it's apprenticeship week or whether it's, you know, 2 weeks down the road or 2 years down the road, we continue to train. And that's what we do. You know, it's, you know, what's interesting, Flash, is apprenticeship today is a misused word. You know, and I look at it, it's like multitasking, right? Remember 20 years ago when multitasking came out, and multitasking says that we can do multiple things at the same time, but it's misused because the brain can only focus on one thing at a time. It's like texting and driving is illegal because you're either focused on texting or driving. And good apprenticeship point. Is one of those terms that can be misused too. You know, just because, you know, someone says that they have an apprenticeship program doesn't mean that it's really an apprenticeship program. That's like saying the plumber that has a nice set of tools is a plumber. It all comes down to training. You know, and the UA has invested, the United Association of Journeyperson and Apprentice Welders, Plumbers, Pipe Fitters, Steam Fitters, HVAC Refrigeration Techs, and Sprinkler Fitters, invested $300 million in training and education last year. You know, our bigger umbrella, the North American Building Trades Union, invested $2 billion in training and education. So what's going on this week? Creating awareness to America's best-kept secret. So I'll be on the American School Counselors Association National Conference later today, where Dr. Tom Krieger and the other trades will be sharing with school counselors, administrators, and influencers throughout the entire country about America's best-kept secret. And, you know, that's really the main thing that I'm involved in, is really to create awareness and pathways so these young men and women, they know that, hey, here's an opportunity. But you know what? Not only is this an opportunity, but we're going to train, we're going to develop you, we're going to give you college credit. You know, in the UA, you earn 45 college credit hours just by doing our program. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's because it's an accredited program. That's because it's a registered program. You know, you don't fail into construction. And this is where the rubber meets the road. It comes down to training and developing our future journey persons and our future leaders.
I always say, too, on the show that this is something that you have for the rest of your life. Once you learn these skills, nobody can take them away. These aren't skills that will be outsourced to China or Mexico or to Vietnam. I mean, and the work is out there, obviously, especially now with this infrastructure bill. Tim, I want to talk about young people today and the push to go to college. And, you know, college costs are ridiculous right now. I mean, they've always been high, but they're higher than ever before because a lot of the states just don't pour money into, especially the public universities. And I'm just wondering, with what's going on, with the jobs that are available, with the money that can be made in the trades. And today we're talking with Tim Coleman, talking about fire protection union jobs, and we'll get into some specifics on that. But I'm just wondering, do you see a shift going on in America? More people understanding? I'm talking about young people, and maybe some school counselors saying, you know what? Maybe you're not cut out for college. Maybe you ought to get into the trades. You think any of that's happening, Tim?
I do, Flash. And I actually, I, I felt it a couple years ago where the conversation seemed to change. And I think it's a credit to our youth today. So this generation that went through that economic recession in 2008, 2007, 2008 timeframe, they're very concerned about debt. You know, there are 43 million Americans that currently carry a significant student loan debt. And on average, those that borrow owe about $28,000. That's a monthly college loan tuition payment of about $380 a month. You know, so we're a society where 60% of Americans do not have college degrees. And the other troubling number for me is that of those that go to college in two-year or four-year school, only 40% actually graduate. So in some cases, there are students that never even get on the college campus that take out a student loan. So the alternative to that, America's best kept secret, is registered apprenticeship programs where you earn while you learn, so you get paid from day one, and you have the on-the-job training, and you learn by doing. So it's not a job shadowing experience. It's a training experience, and it's a work experience. So it's work-based learning coupled with technical instruction. So imagine if your shop teacher is with you every single day on the job site. That's what a journey person does. And our training coordinators and training proctors and training directors that we have, these individuals, these women and men have 25, 30, 35, 40 years experience in their craft. These are subject matter experts. And they train the trainers, and they train our apprentices, and they train our journey level members so we can keep up with technology, so we can do things more efficiently. You know, so imagine that the medical gas line in a hospital that were installed improperly. You know, imagine that the HVAC system that's in a nursing home in the middle of an airborne infectious disease pandemic, COVID-19, was installed improperly. Or imagine that the life safety system of fire protection, the sprinkler fitters, put in a system in a nursing home that wasn't installed properly where the women and men could not get out. So We save lives, you know. I mean, yeah. The United Association protect the nation, you know. I mean, that's what we do. So it's not just about the money. This is worthwhile work. I mean, this is just, you know, a great opportunity for young women and men that, you know, they want to do something different. They want to work with their hands. They want to make an impact on their community. And I see that actually as another strength of this generation, is that not only are they concerned about debt, but they want to give back, you know, infrastructure, doing something for the greater good, impacting the community, you know, not being selfish. These are things that motivate this generation. So I'm just so excited. I'm so excited.
Well, you should be, my man. Tim Coleman joining us on our live line today. He is with United Association Local 669, the Joint Apprenticeship Training Center, America's Fire Protection Union. You can find more at training669.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the specifics of the apprenticeship program and talk about veterans. Last week was Veterans Day on Thursday, and there's been a big outreach on behalf of unions like the United Association to vets. We'll talk about that and more back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line with Tim Coleman on behalf of the United Association Joint Apprenticeship Training Council, and that's America's Fire Protection Union, training669.org. Tim, can you run down the specifics here on your apprenticeship program? Of course, Apprenticeship Week started yesterday. A lot of attention to these programs. Talk to me about what's going on with the UA.
Absolutely. So Local 669, we've been around since 1915. We have jurisdiction in 48 states, 15,000 members, close to 1,300 apprentices. So we're all over the country. And our program is a five-year program. It's 10,000 hours of on-the-job training over the course of 5 years, coupled with 1,200 hours of technical instruction. And that technical instruction is broken down into two components. The first is virtual training. So our apprentices over the five-year period will take 19 courses online. That's 124 lessons. It's a commitment of about 8 to 10 hours a month. And then they will go to sprinkler fitter school 18 times a year. So we don't do block training like maybe some of the other trades do. Our apprentices will go basically every other week. And because we're all over the country, we utilize the relationship that we have with our brothers and sisters from the United Association. So the UA is in 300 locations. The UA has 359,000 members and 45,000 apprentices, represented by 271 affiliate local unions. So we utilize that relationship, and we do most of our training at UA training centers across the country, because the UA is everywhere, and we're everywhere. In a case where the UA local doesn't have room because they continue to grow like gangbusters, you know, we have in some markets like Portland, we have our own training center. But we'll also use a relationship with our brothers and sisters in the other trades if there's not a UA local in that particular market. So, you know, it's about teamwork. It's teamwork on the job site. It's teamwork when we train. You know, we're always helping each other out. So the program works like this, Flash. Every 6 months, as an apprentice gains knowledge and gains work experience, they're going to pick up ranks. So they'll move from an apprentice one to an apprentice two. And the great news is not only do they pick up that recognition and that rank, they get paid more money. So basically think about a $2 an hour increase every 6 months. And then there's a cost of living increase on a yearly basis until that apprentice journeys out and becomes that subject matter expert, earns that gold standard, and has reached the level of a journey person.
I'm laughing here because when I started in radio back in 1973, I got paid $2 an hour.
We've
come a long way. We've come a long way. You're talking about raises of $2 an hour. I love that.
Yeah.
Tim, I know with Veterans Day last week, there's been an outreach. In fact, we had Mike Hazard on the show yesterday. You probably know Mike, veterans.
Absolutely.
Great guy. Great guy. Great interview.
Tremendous.
Too, really.
Tremendous. Yeah. Tremendous leader. Tremendous humble servant that gives back and has the gold standard of the training programs for veterans, the Veterans and Piping Program.
I know that, and the UA is so committed to that, and I'm understanding that there's some interviews that you have done that are posted on Facebook. Let's see, Recruit 669, Tim at Recruit 669. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week was, I mean, you talk about two great weeks in November. So last week was Veterans Week, you know, I'm a Marine, and I'm a former Marine, you know, obviously a veteran as well. We've got a district in upstate New York. Mark O'Connor is the business agent, and he has 20% of his apprentices are veterans. 20% are veterans.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a very diverse workforce. So I did an interview with Scott Fedick, who's a United States Marine. He's an infantryman as well, like myself. And, you know, we just spoke about his experience with one of our great signatory contractors, M&S Fire Protection, which is a veteran-owned company. And then on Veterans Day, I did an interview with Shaiquez Harrell, who's a Syracuse, New York resident and works for a veteran-owned company called C&W Piping out of Rochester, New York. And we did that interview on the job site. So we just talked about, you know, the military experience, the correlation between the military and the trades, so the rank structure, that support, the training, the professionalism, the commitment, you know, and the impact that Local 669 has made in this case. You know, Scott shared the impact that 669 has made on for him and his family, and Shaiquez as well. Talked about the impact and you know, what he loves about the trade. So it's tremendous. So when a veteran comes in, Flash, you know, they're going to register with Helmets to Hard Hats. And Helmets to Hard Hats is a program that since 2012 has introduced over 38,000 veterans into the North American Building Trades Union in a direct entry program. And once they register, they're going to get, with our trade, they get meritoriously promoted. So think about, instead of starting as a Class 1 apprentice, they're going to get credit for their military service for serving their country, and they will pick up rank from day one. So what does that mean to that veteran? That means they're going to get paid more money. So their base rate increases from day one by about $2 an hour. In addition, because we're registered, because our program is a registered apprenticeship program, then the veterans will be able to take advantage of their post 9/11 GI Bill benefits. And when they do that with the building trades, because we have registered apprenticeship programs, the money goes in their pocket. They don't pay us. You know, what makes us different is this is the only organization, the North American Building Trades Union, that the current membership pays for the future. So it's no cost to the taxpayer. So in the case of the post 9/11 GI Bill, this is not, and that's what I shared about, just because you have a nice van doesn't make you an HVAC tech. Just because you have a program where a lot of cases that are, you know, a lot of training academies or schools that are out there, is that the veteran has to pay for that. In this case, the money goes in their pocket, the stipend, their income, you know, and as that GI Bill benefit wears out, the union wage goes up. So it's just a great win, and we value our veterans. You know, I think it's well over 20% of the North American Building Trades membership. That 3.5 million workers are veterans, and you know, I'm just proud to be a UA member and proud to be a United States Marine. So thanks for speaking about that, Flash.
Anytime, my brother. Great job today. Appreciate it. Tim Coleman joining us from the United Association. Training669.org, America's Fire Protection Union. You stay safe, my brother, and let's do this again down the road. I'll tell you, really good information out there for so many of our listeners. So you take care, all right, buddy?
You too, Flash. Thanks for having me. Have a great rest of your afternoon.
That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, the Sheet Metal Workers and Plumbers Local 55. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.